Welcome back. My name is A.B. Ridgway. I'm the host of Financial Advisors, say the darndest things in my mom's favorite Christian financial advisor. And today, brothers and sisters, we're talking about something very tragic. A man kills entire family, then himself, after thinking he was taken out of his mom's will. Estate planning is something that us financial advisors have to deal with each and every plan. It's something that we don't do specifically. We actually refer that out to a lawyer who can draft up your estate plan. But with that estate plan, we have to make sure the accounts are titled properly, because the titling of your accounts supersede any estate planning. So if you have a joint owner with your spouse or with your brother or your sister, that trumps any will. But that's not the point of today's episode. Today's episode is about wealth transfers. We talk about the four pillars of a good financial plan: debt management, savings, investing, and wealth transfer. This falls under wealth transfers. And today we're talking about a man that just couldn't take it because the family didn't have a conversation. I don't want this to happen to you, so tune in, listen to this.
At approximately 11:58 hours, 9/11 received a phone call for shots fired. A male shot himself on the front lawn. That address is 76 Wyoming Court in Syosset. That subject has been identified as Joseph DeLucia, D-E-L-U-C-I-A. He's a junior. He was 59 years of age. He was born 4/12/1965 and lived at that address. Officers found him with a self-inflicted gunshot wound to his chest. He was pronounced at the scene. Officers then went into the house to clear the house and make sure if anybody else was injured. Inside, as the commissioner said, in the rear den area, four individuals were found with multiple gunshot wounds that were expired. Those victims have now been identified as the siblings and niece of the subject, Joseph. They are Joanne Kearns, K-E-A-R-N-S. She's 69 years old. She lived in Tampa, Florida. Frank DeLucia, D-E-L-U-C-I-A, 64 years old. He was from Durham, North Carolina. Tina Hammond, H-A-M-N-O-N-D, 64, from East Patchogue. And her daughter, Victoria Hammond, 30 years old, also from East Patchogue. When officers arrived and found those victims, they immediately called EMS. EMS came, pronounced those individuals at that scene. All of these siblings were the children of Joseph DeLucia Sr. and Teresa DeLucia. Teresa passed away on August 19th of this year, and her funeral was the 23rd. 3 days later, this incident occurred.
3 days later, after the funeral, this happened. This is a shame. Not only did you kill your whole family, you killed yourself over money. This is ridiculous. I wish I could say this was a made up story. I wish I could say, oh, this doesn't happen, or this is a one-off. This is not a one-off. People do some crazy things when it comes to money. And the thing is, it's the sense of entitlement that people think that they're entitled to your parents' estate or money that's coming into the family after death. During this time, they should be mourning the death of their mother, not necessarily fighting over the money, but some people just don't have it in the head. And also, families need to prepare people for when they pass so they don't have any misconceived ideas of what is going to happen. Everybody's from all different places. I'm sure they had a family meeting like, hey, everybody needs to come down. Everyone's down for the funeral. They're meeting, they're talking, and it just must have gotten really ugly. Let's keep listening.
As well as many of you have already reported, the perception of Joseph Jr. was that he was being cut out of the will and was going to be displaced without a place to go. He did have past mental issues, psychological issues that were reported to us that we still have not confirmed. Because of that perception, he decided that day to get a loaded Mossberg shotgun, 12 gauge, approach them in the rear area of the house, and from the kitchen fired 12 shots, striking all four of them multiple times. He then took the weapon, went out onto the front lawn, was shouting indiscriminately about what had happened. A neighbor heard him doing this, called 911, and that was our 911 caller. He then self-inflicted shot to the chest and killed himself. As the commissioner said, if anybody has somebody that they think has issues, they should be calling us. We're not saying this incident could have been averted, but maybe it could have. This is the weapon he used. It's a pump action shotgun. It was recovered at the scene. It has no alterations to make it illegal. This is a legal possessed shotgun. But if he was reported to be mentally unstable, this may be illegal for him to possess. Does that make sense? Okay. When this happened, they arrived to meet the realtor, as you all are aware of. They brought Starbucks. They were assembled in the den area. The brother had stayed behind. There were 13 overall shots, 12 to the victims, one to the subject. There's only one prior call to this house for a well check of him. That person had called in 2022. He was not displaying any signs of anything that we would take action to take him against his will, that he was dangerous to himself or others at that time.
You know, I think the crazy part is that emotions are really high when people pass away. People become extremely sensitive. Things that you can say or do when people are alive or things that you can't say or do when someone passes away. You never know how anyone is going to react. Even someone who is not mentally unstable, who doesn't have a prior history of mental instability, still can react irrationally when it comes to people passing away. And it sounds like, and this is just from the outside looking in from the report I heard, just like you did, it seems that they gathered together to talk about what was going on, and then they did not communicate to him about what was going on, or they were going to leave him out because he was mentally unstable, or I don't know. But for him to have access to that gun is a little off. Listen, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I just don't know how someone in that mental state would be able to go get a gun, and also the time to get a gun. Like, what were they doing meeting without him long enough for him to go get a gun? I would think like, hey, Johnny's in the living room. Why is he in the living room by himself? Or won't he come in here and have this conversation with us, unless they were trying to hide something? And that's just me. I'm not victim shaming. I'm not none of that. I'm just trying to ask questions just like anybody would in a situation like this, trying to get answers just like everyone else.
But that is the only call. He has only one prior arrest for a DW impaired. That was 1983. And that's all we have on him. Yeah, anybody have any questions?
Commissioner, you said something about if you hear gunshots, don't call police, it will be too late. Can you just explain that?
So, unconfirmed, but neighbors have reported that he has made statements in the past that if you hear gunshots, don't bother calling 911. It's going to be too late.
Oh, wait, he's going to be suicidal.
That's correct.
Can you do this in the bathroom of a 59-year-old?
On the subject?
Yes.
So he was an auto mechanic. He worked for a local car dealership. He was kind of a hoarder. Spent all his money on his tools and stuff. The house is pretty much hoarded, packed with tools and stuff involved in auto mechanics. He was living there his entire life, never lived on his own. So you can see the mindset where his world was now changing at 59 years old, and he was panicking.
I'm going to end it right there because it seems like they're just going to give more details about what happened. But I really want to focus on the wealth transfer part of the will, of writing of the will. What's going to happen? As he said before, at age 59, he felt like his life was going to come to a crumble. Maybe his mom was his everything. Maybe she took care of him. And now these family members from outside of the state are coming in and say, no, you're going to have to get out. Well, mom's gone now. So, you know, you're going to have to get your own job, or you're going to have to pay for your own rent, or you're going to have to pay for your own mortgage. And this probably turned his world upside down instantly. And he was probably just frustrated. So how do we prevent something like this? I think the police said it right. We can't prevent things like this and say, well, if you would have done X, Y, Z, this would have never happened. I don't like to play the if game. But what I do like to do is lower our probability of failure in situations like this. So when we're talking about wealth and whether you have a 401k, a lot of money or not a lot of money, no one cares. People care about that money, because if you don't have any money, $1,000 is a lot of money, right? So in this situation, when we're doing financial plans, it's important for you to have an estate plan. You need to select your executor and your power of attorney. Why are these two important? Because the executor is going to take over after you pass away. The power of attorney can help you during life to help draft up your documentation, to read certain documentation as far as your finances are concerned, maybe a medical power of attorney to help you get to your doctors, and then also to write out your wishes and communicate this with your child. Maybe if the mother would have sat down with the son and said, listen, son, when I pass away, you're going to get X amount of dollars, or maybe you're not going to get X amount of dollars. This is what we need to get done. I need to help you transition to this now, right? Instead of just having it shocked all at once, you know, nobody wants to discover that, you know, they're cut out of the will when, you know, someone passes away. Or, you know, even as brothers and sisters, I understand people's wishes and we want to fulfill those wishes, but it's hard for me to believe that a mother who probably lived with this son in the same area just left him out the will totally. I think some siblings came in, they got greedy, they understood he had some, you know, he wasn't all there, and then they took advantage of him and he didn't take it very lightly. Now, once again, I'm not victim shame. I'm just asking questions. I don't know. I just know as a certified private wealth advisor professional, family governance is at the top. Of our concern list, especially when you're dealing with millions and millions of dollars. You know, if you have four people and you have $4 million, that's $1 million that you can get. You know, it's $2 million if you can cut two people out. So trying to get the most money out of a will, some people do that for the love of money. What it says in the Bible, for the love of money is the root of all evils. And look what happened. Over money, all these people lost their lives over one will because we didn't sit down and talk. And obviously she has a will. She sat down and talked to somebody. She had to talk to a lawyer. She had to talk to an individual, somebody, but you have to communicate. We talk about this all the time. The reason people lose their wealth by the third generation is not because of bad investment choices. It's not because of taxes. It's none of that. It's because of a communication breakdown. The generation before is just trusting that the next generation is going to do the right thing. You can't do that. You know, if you do trust them, that's great. Put it in writing. That's the only way that you're going to make sure this goes a little bit more smooth. Now, some people can contest the estate. That's fine. But once again, it's about your account titling. So if you have a retirement account, let you know right now, it automatically goes to your spouse if you have no beneficiaries. And if you have beneficiaries, it bypasses probate. It doesn't go into the estate. So if you have your daughter as 100% beneficiary, but you have three other children, she is going to get 100% of those assets and it doesn't go through the probate. So mom and dad can have $1 million estate and she can get each one and she's the beneficiary on each account and the other kids can get nothing. So if you think that that kid is going to give to the other kids, they may, but they have no right to. They have a right to, but they don't have to, because according to the documentation, you can write it in your will all that you want to. But in that documentation, it says she's entitled to 100%. So be very, very careful about how you title your accounts. It seems simple when your financial advisor calls you and says, hey, we need to make sure these accounts are updated. Don't blow them off. This is very crucial. We don't want things like this to happen. So if you're in a situation, if you have a 401k, you have a retirement, or you need to start your estate plan because you don't have a power of attorney, you don't have an executor, you don't have medical power of attorneys or medical proxies, you need to do something today, or you're going to risk the people that you're passing on your assets to can do something like this and you cannot stop them. I hope it doesn't happen to you. I pray it doesn't happen to you. If you need some help, make sure that you download our ebook, Four Pillars to Christian Investing. It's going to go over debt management, savings, investing, and wealth transfers, estate planning. This is what we're talking about today. That's one of those pillars that their whole financial journey collapsed because they didn't have wealth planning. Okay. They didn't do the right wealth transfers. Okay. Well, that's it for me. If you need a copy of it, the link is going to be in the description. It signs you up for our newsletter. You get tips and tricks about your 401ks, retirement, social security, 403bs, and other investment strategies so you can live a life that is rich and righteous. Well, that's it for me. My name is A.B. Ridgway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing.